All right. Welcome to the May 20th Plan and Zone Commission meeting. Bear with us a couple technical things here, a little feedback. Okay. We'll go ahead and start with roll call. And we don't have anybody to make.
Yeah, Jeff or Scott, why don't you please just do it and we'll keep track of it.
All right. Adam?
Here.
Gannaway?
Here.
Kapler?
Here.
Ormsby?
Here.
Rafferty?
Here.
Stoltenberg here. Wendland?
Here.
Okay. We have everybody here. Okay. Do I have an approval of the minutes of the meeting of April 15th, 2020?
I'll move approval of the minutes, May 20th.
I'll second that.
Okay, we got Joe and Paul. Got it. Great. All right. The normal commission procedures are a little bit strange today, but I will mention Jeff said that anybody that's on Zoom that's having issues can also be watching or listening to this on YouTube. You might want to make sure you mute either Zoom or YouTube. All right. What is the procedure for anybody that would normally be in the audience to speak that's on Zoom?
Anyone that's on Zoom here can also take part in the conversation at your discretion, Mr. Chairman. So if there's a case that's up for discussion and someone on Zoom wishes to answer any questions or elaborate, they're more than welcome to do so.
Okay, great. All right. Well, then I will turn it over to
Mr. Chairman. Could you get a little closer to the mic? You're not coming through as good as Jeff is.
All right. Can you hear me better now?
It's a little better.
Okay. I'll talk up a little louder, too. All right.
Great.
Greg, is Jeff standing in for you?
We're good.
No, I'll present, and then he'll toggle through the.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll hand it over to you, then.
Okay, our first case is the Fields Edge preliminary plat. It is an extraterritorial consideration under the state statutes. We have the capability of evaluating anything within a 2-mile distance of our boundaries, and this plat happens to be on the east side of Criswell Street. As you can see in the aerial photo, the area is in a position where there's development being undertaken now, single-family housing. The preliminary plat attachment B shows the area as an 8-lot subdivision as proposed, with entry off of Criswell Street and 2 flag lots to the north, and then 1 outlot for detention of stormwater in the southeast portion. Staff, in looking at this proposal, would make a recommendation for approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Anyone have any questions?
I had one question. It's Roy Wendland, Greg. Lot 8, when I'm looking at Lot 8 and the topography and the setbacks and that swale, if you scroll down on the screen just a little bit, it's a little cut off. There you go. I'm just wondering, is that effectively a buildable lot when you look at the setbacks and the topography? Maybe they're going to regrade it, but just the way it is, it
we
like
discussed
a pretty tough
that
lot to develop on.
Yeah, we discussed it. I think Brent can elaborate a little bit more, but that's something that I think many of us spotted in evaluating this, and I don't know if he's further detailed.
Thanks, Greg. Roy, there is some challenges on grading lots 6 through 8. There is a fair amount of drainage that's going to be running right through the heart of those lots. Those are existing contours that you do see there. We have seen some grading from the initial construction plans, and there is going to be quite a bit of grading and some fill that's going to have to be brought into those lots to make them buildable, but yeah, you're not missing that. They are a challenge.
Are they going to pipe under 185th Street from lot 1 to lot 8? Will that be a pipe, or will that be recontoured and graded to not need a pipe?
Uh, I don't have the construction plans in front of me. I know Ryan's on the Zoom call. Ryan, maybe you could answer that. You might have a better recollection.
Yeah. Yes, this is Ryan. Don't make sure I'm okay. I'm not on mute. If you're referring to storm sewer, yes, we're going to have storm sewer. The construction plans do show very clearly the grading that is in question and then is a concern, and how that will look when we've moved dirt. And then we will have storm sewer that runs under 185th and a very large retention area on Outlot A that is actually almost two-thirds the size of Outlot A, that will retain that, and then we'll release it at a appropriate flow, I suppose.
And that, while you're on, that was my other question when I look at my notes, was how is the water going to convey into Outlot A? It seems like maybe at least the existing topography would carry it down between lots 6 and 7 quite a bit of the water, but I'm not quite sure how it's making it to Outlot A.
Through the use of the storm sewer, it's piped in an angle that would run from northwest to southeast into Outlot A, and then on Outlot A, the retention area itself can only be described as what would be a long and narrow excavated area, and they've got on the construction plans, they have topography that appears to work very well with quite a bit of water.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Are there any other questions?
Yes, I had two questions, Scott. This is Ann.
Yes. Go ahead.
A flag lot 3, shows existing buildings. Will those remain, or are those going to be torn down?
No, those are going to be removed. One of them is a machine shed, or like a steel barn, and we're currently just using it for overflow storage for the time being. And the other, what's shown as an existing structure, is an old greenhouse, and both those will be removed.
Okay. Then my other question is a follow-up to Roy's question about the outlot. So as 185th is extended and more houses are put out there, is Outlot A intended to accommodate even more water?
It is intended. My understanding is the engineering has it retaining the water from the subdivision, as well as water that it will be coming north to south from the Winger Scott property. In addition to that, there is a culvert that goes underneath Criswell Street in the northwest corner of the property, or just off the property, and we're taking water on from that. So it is designed to retain all that water and release it.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Is there anyone else? I guess not really. We have one person in the audience here. Is there anybody else on the Zoom call that would like to make a comment?
This is Ryan Dolan again. If I could ask one question that wasn't clear in the staff report, and that's in regards to sidewalks. With it being a private lane, are you guys going to require sidewalks? That was a question from Scott County. I had a planning and zoning meeting to Scott County last night.
Brent, are you able to answer?
Well, again, this being an extraterritorial review, you know, not being in the city limits, ultimately we would leave that up to Scott County. If you're going to, okay. Ryan, if you're going to build this to a city standard in terms of width, paving materials, thickness, if that's the case, I would advise putting sidewalks in at that point. But ultimately, this is not located in city limits. We don't have the ability to sewer it at this moment. So I would leave that at Scott County's discretion.
Fair enough. I appreciate it.
Okay. Any other comments or questions?
Yeah, this is Paul Rafferty. I have a question.
Go ahead, Paul.
The question I have is on Outlot A. There's a significant slope across the outlot. And if it's going to be a retention pond or a detention area, is there going to be a pretty high wall at the, what would that be, the south side of it?
Yes, there will be.
Are we concerned about the integrity of that?
They have to bench it in basically on the north side. As soon as they hit that property line, they're going to come down, you know, a 3 to 4 to 1 slope there, try to flatten out what they can, and then have to build a berm and be back.
I'm sorry, could you speak up? I'm having a tough time hearing you.
Sure. So they will have to bench in on the north side. So as soon as that north property line starts, they're going to have to cut down into the slope to try to gain some volume and then rebuild a berm on the south side. But the volume itself, because of just the size of the addition, is not that great. So when Ryan's saying that it's designed to handle the water that's going to come in from off-site, I'm fairly certain it's not designed to actually detain that. So by detention requirements, they only have to pass through that water since it's not hard surface. So the volume's not great. So I don't think we're in anywhere near, say, you know, worrying about this to be considered as a small dam or anything like that in terms of structural integrity.
That's good. That's exactly what I was concerned about. So thank you.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I will move to approve case number 20. Go ahead, Paul.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 2025 as submitted with staff recommendations.
Go ahead.
I'll second that.
All right, Janessa seconds. Thank you. All right. With that, we'll move on to, we have a final plat.
Scott, can we take a roll call?
All right. So all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. All right, motion carries. And now we'll move on.
Our next proposal is the Wilderness Point First Edition. It's in almost the same area, but due further south and west. And it is encompassing mainly the southern portion of what is the proposed plat, or I should say the preliminary plat, Attachment B. And that's in two sections. We show it here, and that's the way the final plat was delivered to us. But you do have the main entry point there, which is Wilderness Point right there, drive, and then the area that is further off to the south and west, that portion of the plat as well. And that has a major drainage way in it, and that's why the outlots are here shown on the preliminary plat. And each of these outlots will be associated with a lot of record, except for common areas where there will have to be more in the way of caretaking arrangements. As we go to the final plat sections in the attachments C, you can see the number of single-family residential lots that are intended. And Criswell will be the main entryway, and then Wilderness Point will be the means of access to the majority of the subdivision. And then there will be connectivity to the south to Old Hunter Woods additions. And then on the second section here, you can see the cul-de-sac that goes further south. North is to your right on this. And as you can see, the area again, the drainage way area with the trunk line sanitary sewer running through it. And then we have further drainage detention area as well further to the south. Staff, in looking and reviewing this proposal for Wilderness Point First Edition, recommends approval with the considerations and conditions in the report that are listed. I would ask, are there any questions?
Anyone have any questions?
Greg, this is Ann. Can you just shed a little bit more light on your note 3 about the city code and the 30-foot buffer?
I'll take that, Greg.
That's Brent's area of oversight.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, Ann, we instituted that a couple years ago with our stormwater ordinance changes, I guess almost 4 years ago. So that buffer is required from the top of slope on both directions as basically a you cannot disturb. The outlots are actually sized accordingly here. So we had that come across during the preliminary plat, and the engineer established the top of slope for us and then gave us a 30-foot offset. So we do know that those are contained within the outlots.
Okay, thank you.
Greg, it's Roy. I had a question on outlots as well. It referenced in the notes, and there were a couple different drawings. I think the final plat shows there's outlots L is in Larry and C is in Charlie. And it references that lot 18 owns lot outlot C and is, the way I read it, responsible for the maintenance and care of the outlot, yet that essentially is something that looks like it's the responsibility or should be the responsibility of the entire subdivision and owned by the HOA. I'm curious why that outlot is owned and maintained when it's for drainage and other purposes and by that owner of lot 18, but the others are owned by the HOA.
Yeah, we'll have to look at that because now that you bring that up, I was under the impression that outlot C would be under the control of the homeowners organization because there is a drainage area in there for release of stormwater, and it does have.
That's my point. Yep.
Yeah, Roy. I think. Well, the initial reason I can say that it was tagged to lot 18 was similar to all the lots on the west side of that cul-de-sac. That it's unbuildable. Now this is the one that has a detention basin, but the reason it was tagged to those is because it is adjacent to them, just like the other ones. Now, Jared's here and going to be coming to the microphone, but I'm guessing what he's going to say is that they still will probably own that outlot, but maybe you can have a separate agreement with that owner, Jared, in terms of maintenance of the detention basin itself.
Yeah, in the past, we did Pigeon Creek would be just kind of east of here, and those outlots were owned by each individual owner. So it was, you know, and the reason for that mainly was because they were in a floodplain so that each individual owner didn't have a floodplain touching their part of their property, so they didn't need flood insurance. So
how about this, since this one does contain one of the two detention basins in it, I guess the concern is putting all the maintenance and ownership of the detention basin on this lot owner. So maybe it's a note that we can clarify before we take to city council.
Yeah, let's look at that together. So I think I have a similar situation in Pigeon Creek, and
you do on that west side about halfway down.
Yeah,
and don't remember how that note got written.
Yeah, we can look at that together though. So
okay. So yes, Roy, we'll get that taken care of and clarified.
Yeah, that sounds like you're tracking right. I just looked at that and thought, okay, private ownership, corporate responsibility, no right of technical right of access. It just seemed like they were kind of going two different directions there, so but you're on it. So that was my concern.
Yep, absolutely.
This is Paul Rafferty. Can you speak to that again? Because according to the final plat, all of those outlots are owned by the lots of record.
Yes, so that is what we want, Paul, for the lots. Let's see here. D through K need to be owned by the adjoining owners, and that's both for the buffer yard but also what Jared was saying because of the floodplain issues, so this way that they don't have to pay flood insurance on those outlots.
I'm sorry,
L is owned by the HOA though, right? Outlot L is in Larry.
Yes, yeah, Paul, or yes, Roy, so just D through K are owned by the adjacent property owners. L is the big outlot out towards the front of Criswell.
This is Paul again. Can I ask, why are we doing that? Why don't we just have a lot continue over to the main boundary?
Because the floodplain's located in that, Paul, so that allows the homeowners to not have to pay flood insurance on their property.
Because
it's not buildable. So those homeowners are required to purchase both lots. They have to own both. They have to maintain them. Similar situation, actually, on the next case, we've got them on Valley Winds. Along the rear, we have it pretty frequently around town, anywhere we have floodplain.
So okay. So if it's one continuous lot, the insurance company says it's in a floodplain,
correct,
whether the house is or not.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions?
This is Andy Anaway. I'm wondering, and this could be because I'm pretty new to this, but if this is in a pretty similar area as the last that we approved, Can you just explain how in one of them the utilities require a septic system and the other does not?
Sure. And our Criswell is basically a ridge when it comes to our sanitary sewer. So we have sewer on the west side of Criswell. We can serve almost all the city property at this point that's west of there. We do not have anything on the east side. And like I said, Criswell is kind of a hill. So the subdivision that you just saw falls off pretty drastically from Criswell. So we do not have the elevation to get sewer over there.
Thank you.
And Brent, is that even in the city technically? It's, we're looking at it because of the proximity, right?
That's correct. Yes, it is outside the city limits. We did discuss possible annexation initially with Mr. Dolan, but the sewer was the ultimate deciding factor. We don't have a way to get it there.
Yeah.
Okay. Any more questions? All right. With no more questions, can we get a motion?
I'd make a motion, Mr. Chairman, to approve case 20-026, Wilderness Point, subject to staff recommendations, as well as the clarification on the rights and responsibilities relative to outlot C for access and maintenance.
I second.
Okay. With the motions, now you can have a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right, motion carries. On to replats, case 20-024.
Mr. Chairman, this is a replatting of the lot one of Valley Winds 10th. And it's within the Valley Winds additions. It's further to the north as you even get closer to Forest Grove Drive. The Valley Winds 10th edition, which is what essentially this is a portion of, the front portion of this subdivision, attachment B here, Valley Winds final plat. You can see that the area is the eastern portion of this is what was in this original subdivision. And what you're seeing then in the replat, which is attachment C, combination of this with the area that is known as Lot 1A. That's essentially what was being done, and it sort of reflects what has occurred south, where you do have these same type areas that are considered more of an amenity than they are anything else, really. I mean, we're not looking at Lot 1A to be a buildable lot, but the front portion would be of that nature. Staff, in looking at this proposal for the replat, would recommend approval of Gipple's first edition. I'd ask you, are there any questions?
Okay. Greg, so we're basically doing the same thing here as we talked about before?
Yes, with five lots that are south of this.
Okay. All right. Any questions? All right. Would anybody else in the audience like to make a comment? Todd, are you going to keep quiet? All right. Well, hearing none, can I get a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve case number 20-2024, subject to any staff recommendations.
Need a second?
I'll second that.
All right, Paul's got it. All right. Any comments? All right. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. All right. That motion carries. Now we're on to commission updates.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. We had quite a few cases get approved at City Council last month with the dual month of planning and zoning that we had. We had five final plats. We had the final plat of Glenbrook Ridge 3rd Edition, and we had the final plat of Old Hunter Woods 7th Edition, which, remember, was just a two-lot plat combining a couple of lots there. We had the final plat of Pleasant Harbor Second Edition. Remember, separating the piece just north of Harbor Drive so the homeowners association could purchase a portion, which they were going to use for parking during flooding conditions. We had final plat of Creek Ridge Estates Third Edition, also just a two-lot plat, modifying a boundary. We also had the final plat of Spencer Hollow Fourth and Fifth Edition. Haven't seen the construction plans come in yet, but I do think they're going to actually build both those as one one single construction project, but they did end up platting separately. And then we also had three site development plans get approved. We had the site development plan for Forest Grove Crossing Third. That was the triplexes submitted by Yawsey Development. We had site development plan of Lot 1 of the Shops of Woodlands, all the way at the east end, just adjacent to the Wesley Life Project. And the site development plan for Lot 3 of Glenbrook Ridge 3rd Edition, which was a 6-plex and a 7-plex. So no real comments or anything on that from council. And you know, I am happy to say that we do have, as I'm guessing everybody's probably seeing the news, we do have a new director that has accepted an offer. Mark Hunt will be starting June 22nd, I believe, 21st or 22nd, whatever that Monday is.
Great. Seems like a lot going on. With that, I guess the meeting's adjourned.